This morning we continue this series on home improvement. I want to look at how to be the best version of you. And Paul writes this in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and following. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We all have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're looking at this wonderful passage of Scripture this morning and thinking about how to be the best version of each and every one of us. First, I want to start with a true story that I think is a bit humorous. True story of Mandy. Back in 1997 in Georgia, she was a high school senior. And like many high school seniors, she was stressed about applying to college and getting into the right college. And so she was quite bright, and one of the applications she was filling out was to an Ivy League university. And, you know, there were a number of essays in this application, but the application started off with a number of check boxes that were simply, you know, question and then check yes or no. And one of the first questions asked is, are you a leader, yes or no? Well, Mandy did a little self-assessment, and as she thought about whether or not she was a leader, she decided she was a little bit more of a follower than actually a leader. And so in the box that said leader, are you a leader, she checked no. Well, then she sent it into the mail to this Ivy League university and waited anxiously for the reply. And so this is the reply that came back from the university. Dear Mandy, on behalf of the Board of Trustees, Alumni, and Office of Admissions, I would like to be the first to welcome you to the class of 1997. This year, we welcome 4,688 new leaders to our university community. We thought it would be good for them to have at least one follower. True story. Oh, you know, the temptation to conform to all the expectation around us and to be part of the 4,688 folks, right? But this morning, I'd like us to think about being the very best version of us. There's a great Danish proverb that I love that says, what you are is God's gift to you. What you do with yourself is your gift back to God. And so as we look at this passage this morning, I'm reminded of a book by Marcus Buckingham, who some time ago was working for the Gallup poll in the UK. And they got into an office disagreement, and the disagreement went like this, that do people focus on using their strengths or do they try to manage their weaknesses, right? Do they focus on using their strengths or do they try to manage their weaknesses? And so that got into a heated discussion. Now, for some of us, we would just leave it at that. But when you work for the Gallup poll and you decide you're going to find out definitively, you can go ahead and take a survey. And so in the next few weeks, they took a survey on that. And they asked folks, do you try to manage your weaknesses or do you focus on your strengths? And what came back is that 63% of people try to manage their weaknesses instead of playing to their strengths. Isn't that amazing? They also found out that people who were asked, would you rather be well-rounded or use your gifts, your God-given gifts, found out that the majority of people would worry about being well-rounded. That's interesting, isn't it? Because I think many times we try to be someone else, someone other than who we are. And so parents, as he writes about, often when a kid brings home a C in the report card, I know this feels like, what do the parents do? They're going to work on the C rather than working on the strengths, the A's the child has. And he asked the questions, how many Albert Einsteins have we lost because we're trying to work on the C rather than work on the strengths that the child has? I think Paul would be happy with that kind of analysis. You know, you and I may strive to be someone else, But it's like kind of trying to teach a rabbit to swim or a snail to race. It just ain't going to happen. Many of you know that I would like to be able to sing like Elvis and play the guitar like Carlos Santana. Ain't going to happen. You know, I can sing little, play the guitar little, but it isn't like Elvis and it's not like Carlos Santana. Each of us has to accept our gifts and talents, our strengths from God, and try to use that to the glory of God. Paul begins this section talking about the way we live can be our spiritual act of worship, right? And sometimes we think that worship is just in the church, but Paul is saying by the way you live, it can be a spiritual act of worship. And he says that not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Now, many times when we look at this passage, we think about the pressures of our culture and the values of the culture not being part of that. And that's really true, but I think the pressure comes from other places as well. Sometimes the pressure is our own expectations. We look at the culture around us, or maybe from our parents or other people, to be someone other than who God has called us to be, who God has given us these gifts and talents that are blessed by God, and God wants us to be all that we can be, to be the very best version of us. And so this morning, I want to think about just two things, which is one, to be yourself. How can you be the best version of you? And two, how you can encourage others to be the best version of them. And so this word that Paul uses that don't conform actually is the word schizotomy, which is the word we get schematic from. So for you engineers out there or wiring people, you know, that's a wiring diagram. And so you and I are wired in a certain way. And when we try to be wired the way other people are, it isn't going to be the case. Snails aren't going to race. I'm sorry. God has hardwired us to be us. And so when we lean into our gifts and strengths, it makes all the difference in the world. And of course, Paul goes through these lists of gifts, right? That are, and it's not exhaustive. He's just sort of opening, you know, the window and saying, look at it, the colors all around us, just like the fall day today. And so he says, you know, if you're a teacher, then teach. If you're a person who can give, then do so generously. If you're going to show mercy, then do it with a cheerful heart. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. Whatever your gift is, then be that way. In fact, Martin Luther, the great reformer, was very proud of saying that God doesn't just call the clergy. God also calls the farmer and the factory worker. God calls the plumber. And God calls the doctor and the nurse and the business person. All of us are called by God. It's not what we do. It's how we do it that makes it a ministry. And so it's not just Sunday, that's sort of our time to get filled up with the Spirit, but then we go out and live out our life in a way that reflects God's purposes in our life. It doesn't always come easy. I'm reminded of the story of Harriet Beecher Stowe, the great abolitionist. And she recalls in her life that her parents had certain expectations and those around her had certain expectations. And it didn't feel right. And then all of a sudden she felt the calling. She says she felt the beat of a different drummer. And she said she began to move towards being an abolitionist. Of course, became a great writer and abolitionist and spoke into the injustice of slavery. But she said it was beginning to move to a different drummer that made all the difference in her life. And so she felt God's calling. Sometimes people's pressures and expectations can try to move us in one direction. But if we listen to God and listen to that still small voice and look at our own gifts and talents, we can discover who we truly are. I'm also reminded of the story of Amy Carmichael, which I love. This is told by Philip Yancey in one of his books. And he relates how Amy Carmichael, when she was growing up, she said that when she was 6 years old, she used to go to Sunday school class. And she had brown eyes and all the other girls had blue eyes. And she wanted so much to have blue eyes. And so when they'd ask for prayer requests in Sunday school class, she would always say, well, I'd like blue eyes. Well, God did not answer that prayer. She eventually, you know, through her Sunday school class, and parents realized that that wasn't going to happen, and so she adjusted to having brown eyes. Well, years later, she graduated from high school, and she decided to do a summer in missions. She went to India, was working with kids in this little village of this little mission, and she had a really incredible summer, a fruitful mission with these kids. And towards the end of the summer, she was sitting one evening with some of the women of the village, and they were remarking on what an amazing, fruitful summer that she had and how the kids just loved her. And they remarked how that for the last several summers that the same mission had sent some young women into the village, and they didn't have nearly as fruitful a vision as did her ministry there. And so Amy said, well, you know, why do you think that is? And a woman said, well, you know, your eyes are just brown enough that the kids can make a connection, and all the other girls have blue eyes. Your eyes are just brown enough that the kids can make a connection. And Amy recalled going into her diary and writing that evening and saying, you know, God's plan for us is so much better than many times our plan for ourselves. It involves discovering who God created us to be and leaning in to who God created us to be and being the best version of us. God did not create us on an assembly line. God handcrafted each and every one of us with unique gifts and talents. And so, be the best version of you. And the second thing is to encourage others to be the best version of them. John Ortberg once said this about this kind of topic. He said, you know, it's kind of like a parent or grandparent who has two kids. And one might be an 80-pound gymnast and the other a 300-pound linebacker. Said, if you encourage both of them to be the same, you're going to end up with two kids that are 190 pounds that are completely useless. But if you coach the 300-pound lineman to be a 300-pound lineman, and you coach the 80-pound gymnast to be an 80-pound gymnast, they're going to flourish in their individual gifts, and they're going to be who God created them to be. And you and I have the opportunity to encourage others to be themselves. I can't tell you in my years of campus ministry at Purdue University how many times I had a young freshman or sometimes even a sophomore in my office crying in tears, and they had just come out of Calculus 101 or Physics 101, another killer course, and they were in tears, and they just said, well, you know, I don't think I'm cut out to be an engineer. And we started talking about that. And sometimes they just need encouragement to get back in there because those are hard courses and do all they can be. But sometimes you just ask them and say, you know, what's your passion in life? And sometimes they would say, well, it's to be an artist or to be a writer or something like that, to be in philosophy, but my parents want me to be an engineer. My dad is an engineer. My mom is an engineer, and they want me to be an engineer. And I would say, you know, if that's your passion, that's great. But if not, you know, maybe you need to talk to mom and dad and to be all you can be. They'll probably come around. You just got to give them a little bit of time. And you and I, as parents and grandparents, we have the gift of being able to encourage people in a way that might make all the difference in the world. Because they might be saying, well, the value's on this, being an engineer, not being an artist. But we can say, you know what? God had made artists just as well as engineers. God has made teachers and doctors and nurses, and all of them are blessed if we sort of lean into that view of life, and I think it's amazing. I know sometimes that our gifts are also informed and strengthened by not just the joys and successes we have, but also the challenges we face. About 6 years ago, my mother found out that she had breast cancer, and she went in to have it checked, found out that it was a very aggressive form of breast cancer and it had just metastasized, and so there was a lot of hurry to get her into surgery, and she went one place. She was a nurse at the time at Winter Haven, Florida, and knew the people there, and so she went in, and she didn't feel perfect about that. She decided to get a second opinion, so she went to a cancer institute that was not very far away. And she made the appointment, and then she got there, and she was surprised to find out that it happened to be a doctor whom she had previously worked with at the hospital that she was presently working on. And she came to find out, as he shared her story with her, that his wife had died of breast cancer. And he decided what he was going to do was to take the rest of his life and to fight breast cancer for every woman that came into his office, and to do it with all of his might. Well, that was a huge relief to all of us, as well as my mother, and we had great peace knowing that no matter what happened, that my mom was going to receive the very greatest care possible. He was using not only his gifts and talents, but also the pain and heartbreak that he went through in order to use his gift as a ministry of healing to others. And so it was an incredible blessing. Paul pictures this in this passage that not only do we all have gifts and talents, but when we use them, we become like the body of Christ. And he says, just as the body has different members, eyes, ears, nose, hands, feet, and we need all those to come together as the body, you and I as the church are uniquely gifted in different ways, and when we come together in the right way using our gifts and talents, we become able to become the body of Christ, not just in the church, but in our community and the world to make a difference by being Christ's hands and feet, loving and serving those around us. So think about for a moment, too. I know it's football season, and you know you can be sort of the coach, and a good coach sometimes takes the quarterback and says, you know what, you'd be a better receiver. Sometimes takes the receiver and says, you know what, I think you have a gift to throw the ball. You might be a quarterback. Or he switches offense and defense. Many times a coach does that. You and I sometimes have to encourage people to discover their gifts and talents and to follow the path that God has given us, not to make them in our own image, but to allow them to be the ones that God created them. So I challenge us to accept ourselves, to accept our gifts and talents, to be the very best version of us. That's who God called us to be, not someone else. And to take the opportunity to encourage others to be the very best version of themselves. And in so doing, we'll all become the Church of Jesus Christ as God would have us. I'll close with one of my favorite stories. The story is this of a rabbi. This was back in the 2nd century, and the rabbi was going from his place in the village to home, path that he normally passed every day. And so on the way home, he was praying the Shema, the Jewish prayer. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he was just repeating that over and over and enjoying the walk. And he missed the turn to his home and kept walking. And he kept praying and walking until, unbeknownst to him, he walked slam into a Roman encampment. And there was a Roman centurion, a soldier, standing guard. And the Roman centurion said, "Halt, who goes there? Who are you and why are you here?" Well, the rabbi was taken back for a moment, and then he thought, and then he asked the Roman soldier, "How much do they pay you to do this?" And the Roman soldier was not amused. He said, "Who are you and why are you here?" And the rabbi said, "Well, I mean no disrespect or harm, but I simply want to know how much they pay you." Well, the Roman soldier said, "Well, they pay me 2 drachma a day." And the rabbi said, "I'll gladly double that and pay you 4 drachma a day if every day you'll stand on my door when I leave and when I come home and ask me those same 2 questions. Who are you and why are you here?" I think the Apostle Paul would agree that those are probably the 2 most important questions in all the world. Who are you and why are you here? And I think God would whisper to us that God has created us uniquely. And we are to discover the unique gifts and talents that God has given us. And we would discover that purpose and use our gifts and talents and learn to encourage others to do the same. We will be the people that God wants us to be, and we will truly be a light in the world, loving and serving God, and loving and serving others. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious Lord, as we think about the beauty of the trees all around us that are each beautiful and unique in their colors, we realize that you've created us uniquely as well. You've created us each with gifts and talents, with strengths that are a blessing to us and can be a blessing to others if we discover and develop those strengths. And so help us to do that and to celebrate your creation and to encourage others to do the same. In the name of Christ our Lord, and all God's people said, Amen.